There's only one name we're gonna talk about in this house, and that's the name of Jesus. Stay with me now. This thing is heavy. We can win the warfare by yielding to the Spirit of Almighty God. We're being infiltrated by religious people who were gifted by God but using it as a prostitute to make money. Love, from God's concept, is giving and expecting nothing in return.
Hello, the Bible is very clear and explicit about salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, and he died for your sins and for mine. The Bible tells us that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, but rose with all power in his hands. Salvation is accepting Jesus Christ into your life, believing he died for your sins. It is as simple as ABC, admitting that you're a sinner, believing that Jesus died for your sins, and then confessing him, asking him to come into your life and save you. You can be saved because hell is real. The world is going to hell for rejecting Jesus Christ. When you receive Christ into your life, immediately the Holy Spirit comes in. He brings peace, power, and placement. The number at the bottom of your screen is our 800 number. If you've made this decision, we want you to call and come and visit us. This prayer is this simple. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save me. I believe you died for all of my sins. And if you pray that, the Bible says you are saved. God bless you. Now come into our world.
Welcome to St. Matthew's Baptist Church, where Dr. Raymond M. Gordon is senior pastor. We are a church committed to glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, teaching and preaching conservative theology, involved in dynamic worship.
We are a multicultural, holistic ministry dedicated to your spiritual growth through a comprehensive discipleship program.
Our youth ministry is fired up on Fridays. Got game? We're playing basketball. See you on Tuesday.
Our outreach ministries are breaking down barriers, not bound by tradition. You're hip-hop, we listen.
Welcome to our world.
I want to preach around a subject, when conviction turns into conversion, by way of a conversation. I want to lay out, before we get into the introduction, some very interesting observations. Through observation, we learn interrogation. Through interrogation, proper interpretation. And only then can we make application to our lives. Everybody that Jesus met, everybody that Jesus talked to, everybody that Jesus confronted, changed after meeting him. And we're going to look at a whole line of people, from the marriage of Cana to next week, the woman at the well. He influenced and he changed lives. I'm using that as a proposition because too many people claim to have met him, but there are no changes. If I were face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, caught in a conversation, seeking life solutions, concerned about my conflict, needing a prescription for my peace, a liberty for life, what would be my conversation with my Christ? Would it be truth or trials? Would it be my sin or my security, his will or my woes? St. John chapter 3 is what I call Nick at night. He meets with an old man called Nicodemus and engages in a very powerful conversation. This Nick at night is not old pictures from the 60s, but it's an old man from the Pharisees. It is not Ed Sullivan, it's an education on salvation. It is not get smart, it's get saved. It is not I love Lucy, but God so loved the world. It's not leave it to Beaver, but a liberty to the believer. It's not Lassie, but the Logos. not Cosby, but conversion, not the Jeffersons, but justification, not the Jetsons, but Jesus. This is the real Nick at Night. And I just want to say that when I look at John chapter 3, it begins to defy people's theology. It defies people's theology that in entertainment, people can get on talk shows, they can get on award ceremonies, they can get on, amen, Rapper's Row, and everybody claims to know Jesus. But their lifestyles don't pan out. And Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. When you come face to face with the Master, changes are imminent. I say that because as we look at this chapter 3, as we see it unfold, we begin to see some dynamic doctrinal issues that people have decided to ignore. This man, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night. First thing, there's a recognition of Jesus. Nicodemus confesses with a little pharisaical pride, we know. He comes to Jesus by night. Speculation is he came by night to avoid the crowds. He comes by night. I want you to pay attention to the text. And as he comes by night, he makes a thrilling confession. He says, Rabbi, teacher, we know that you, notice the plural pronoun, we who? We of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee, a strict sect of externalists who were more concerned about the outside, amen, godliness than the inside godliness. They were caught up in the externals. They wore these long white robes with bells. They washed, amen, five times a day. They cleaned their nails. They made sure that they never touched anything common or dead or unclean. They depicted so many church folk that have been faithful in coming to church, but when examined, don't know why they come to church. These are the externals. This sect believed in resurrection. This sect believed in the spiritual realm, but this sect did not believe in regeneration. They had a problem. Unlike the other group called the Sadducees. And the reason they call Sadducee, because they were sad, you see. The Sadducees were a sect that didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in the spiritual realm. They were political. They wanted a Christ to come back and dethrone the Romans. And the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't get along, but they got along when it came to Jesus. And then the scribes, the elders, the high priests, made up a Sanhedrin council of 70 men, the Supreme Court of Israel. And Nicodemus, who ultimately in chapter 19 gets saved when Jesus dies on a cross, he and Joseph of Arimathea goes, amen, to Pilate for the body of Jesus. And, but this Nicodemus, he is a clean and he is a circumcised, orthodox, high-ranking Jew. He comes to Jesus by night because there's something in him bothering him about this 33-year-old man called Jesus. Something unique, something special. And his conversation leads to a confession. We know that you have come from God. And if you break down and examine verse 2 thoroughly, as every good Bible student should, you will learn why Jesus rebukes him. He said, you're a teacher, you've come from God, and no man can do these miracles except God is with him. Well, Jesus is not just a man, Jesus is God. He's God's man, and he's man's God. And Jesus this conversation moved to this confession. This confession moves to a rebuke. And Jesus says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see nor enter into the kingdom of God." Jesus moves this man from recognition of who he is to a rebuke to a doctrine that's not even preached anymore in churches called regeneration. Regeneration is a doctrine that says when I get saved and let Christ in, that God imparts to me a divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4 says we are partakers of his divine nature. Now, here's the problem in Christendom, and because we are not being taught, we're being inundated with prosperity preachers and send me $7,700, $7,000, and amen, amen, the TBN crowd. Somebody needs to talk about them. You know, Bentleys and jets and money and money and more money. Amen. Half dollars and dollar and, the whole thing. And because we don't hear the word of God, it has slipped where it ought to be. I'm preaching already. That's all right. Fact of the matter is that this story says that when we understand the whole realm of theology, that is, you and I will learn that when Christ saves us, somebody said, at least 55 things happen simultaneously that you don't see, feel, or hear. You are adopted into the beloved. You are predestinated. You are chosen. You are elected. You are regenerated. You are given the perseverance of the saints. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, who was slain before the foundation of the world. Can I get a witness? And at least 55 things happen that you and I don't hear, see, or even feel, but they happen. They happen because God is God, and God does not have to move you to manifest something. God does not have to let you see something before you can believe something. God does not have to shake your seat. God does not have to, turn off and on your car. God doesn't have to give signs. God can work quietly through a still small voice. And when you're truly saved, you know you're saved. Can I get a witness? We just sang in your hearing. I can face tomorrow. Why? Because I know he lives. Can I get a witness? Somebody says he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I'm his own. The evidence of true salvation is not a sign. Amen. The evidence of true salvation is not, listen, it's not what you can talk, it's what you can walk. The evidence of true salvation is what he has already done in spite of me. He snatched me out of hell with smoke still in my garments. He put me on a street called straight. He's impacting my heart. He's changing my mind. He's changing my walk. He's changing my sight. He's changing things I used to do. I don't feel comfortable doing them anymore. Why? Because I have met the man from Galilee. Doesn't mean we're perfect. But we're saved. This regeneration, having a divine nature, being born from above. Look what Jesus says. Except a man be born again. The again denotes you've been born once. But if you're only born once, you're going to die twice. You're going to die a physical death, then you're going to die a spiritual death. But when you're born twice, you only die once. Can I get a witness? And death to the Christian is not like death to the unchristian. Death to the Christian is nothing more than a door into his presence. Can I get a witness? And see, the tense of the verb is to be, is to be. To be absent is to be present. When you look at the tense of the verb, to be is to be, there is no in between, there is no gap, there is no step miss, there is no delay. To be is to be. To die, to be absent, is to be present. I wish I had a witness. That is that if I drop dead right now of a stroke and heart attack, I keep telling you this, before my body hits the floor, I'm in the presence. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm in the presence of Jesus Christ. How can you say it? Because the speed limit to heaven is not a blink, it's a twink. Yes, the twinkling of an eye. Let me fix this thing up. So if I fall back and drop dead, look, before I hit the floor, I'm in the presence of Jesus. By the time somebody runs up here and pronounces me dead, I would have already walked around glory. Lord, have mercy. It's not in the Bible, but some old folks say that when you're ready to come home, amen, the Lord, amen, calls your family together at the gates so they can rejoice with you. I wish I had a witness. Can I get a witness? And as they take my body out of here, I'm talking to Moses, and I'm talking to Paul, and I'm talking to Ezekiel and Jeremiah. By the time they embalm me, I'm in my mansion looking around, praising the name of Jesus. And by the time you have my funeral, while you sitting out there with them crocodile tears crying, I'm upstairs shouting. Can I get a witness? Saying thank you for your goodness, and thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your grace. Somebody said one look at Jesus is going to pay for it all. Somebody said, and after you see all that, if there was a train in heaven saying earth, nobody be on it. Because once you see Jesus, I'm preaching now, once you get into glory, all things are passed away. Amen. No more crying, no more dying, no more disease, no more sickness. We're going to be in heaven. That's why the songwriter said, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we're going to sing, we're going to shout the victory. My theology changed my mentality of the grave. I should, but I don't have to take flowers to my mother's grave every 5 months. She's not there. Can I get a witness? When you understand this thing, can I get a witness? When you want, see, when a Christian dies, let me just deal with this. When a Christian dies, it's not the same. Can I get it? Because you know why? You're going to see them again. Can I get a witness? Yeah. And in fact, it's a home going. It's a shouting time. And in fact, we should look in the casket and be envious. We ought to look in the casket and say, you know what? I wish that was. I wish that was me. Because sometimes you feel like going home. And the only reason Jesus left you here was not so you could accumulate your mutuals. The only reason he left you here was not so you could matriculate on your job, brag about your degrees, dress with your mink coats. The only reason he left you here is so you could glorify his holy name. That you can win souls for Christ. Check it out, check it out, check it out, check it out, check it out. Except you be born from above, you cannot see nor enter into the kingdom of God. So this conversation, this conversion of regeneration leads to a confusion. Nicodemus, verse 4, said unto him, how can these things be? How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time to his mother's womb? 1 Corinthians 2 says that the spiritual things are moronic. They're foolishness to the unsaved. Only the saved can understand spiritual truth. Jesus said to him, look at it. He says, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, verse 5, he cannot enter. Notice, he says, see, now you can't even enter. This is a dual baptism. The baptism of water for the repentance was by John the Baptist. The baptism of the Spirit is by Jesus. But listen to this. He deals with two things. It takes two parents to have a baby. And I know I'm treading today because, yeah, same sex want to get married. Whatever you call that, you can call it, but God calls it a mess. The marriage is between a man and a woman. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Let's make it clear. Hallelujah. Amen. Now watch this, child of God. Woo! Let me deal with it. Just as you had two parents, a man and a woman, there are two spiritual parents to get born again. The Word and the Spirit. The water of the Word and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit takes the Word, and when we believe God's report, he imparts to us divine nature. Are you with me? All right, let me go on and teach this thing. Let me go on and teach this thing. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, check it out. He moves from the confession to the conversion to the confusion to the combination of components. And now he moves, amen, to the two capacities. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That means we have an Adamic nature. Yes, sir. From Adam. Are you with me? As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall we be made alive. God says, I can't use anything from the Adam side. On the spiritual side. The two never come together. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. You know why Christians are having a hard time in this life, including me? We're going to find out next week because we're drinking the wrong water. You're trying to drink natural water for spiritual results. Jesus told a woman at the well, baby, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for water. You got to have spiritual water to get spiritual results. You can't hook something up in the flesh and in the name of Jesus, douse a little powder of religion on it and expect something spiritual to come out. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit is spirit. Meaning we got two natures when we get saved. Whole nother diet of doctrine. And all of my warfare is not from Satan. It's fighting between these two natures. Are you praying with me? Come on, I'm trying to teach you something. I got these two natures. So if I have two natures, I got two capacities. If I have two capacities, I got a war on the inside. Temptation over here and triumph over here, and the flesh over here and the spiritual over here, the old man over here and the new man over here. You're not hearing me. The lust over here and the liberty over here. There is a war going on. So Paul fixed that thing in Romans 7 after being saved 20 years. Paul said, with my mind, I serve the law of God, but in my flesh, the law of sin. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Should a pastor lust? Absolutely. You got the old nature. Or you can get quiet if you want to. I'm not paying y'all no mind. I'm not going to be religious for you. I'm going to be real for you. Whatever you go through, I go through. Can I get a witness? You feel like laying somebody out? There comes a time when I feel like laying somebody out. Can I get a witness? You don't always want to do the right thing? I don't always want to do the right thing. Amen. Can I get a witness? But God, who's rich in mercy. Check it out. It deals with this matter of two capacities, and it leads to a further complex comprehension. Check out. Jesus answered, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit. Then verse 6, that which is first, marvel not that I said that you must be born again. Now watch verse 8. The wind bloweth where it wills. You hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it cometh, where it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Here's one of the things we got to understand about this new birth. And I said it this morning. Jesus is so deep, Jesus said, he's trying to give Nicodemus an illustration as being a natural man of the workings of the Spirit. Are you with me? Here's how the Spirit works. He said, when you go outside and look at the wind, you can hear the wind and you can see the effects of the wind. I'm going somewhere. Leaves are blowing, right? Branches are tilting. You still can't see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind. You can hear the wind. Jesus said, when you have the Spirit, you don't see the Spirit, but you ought to see the effects of the Spirit. I wish I had a witness. You don't have to wear no sign, I'm saved. Somebody ought to see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Somebody ought to see the effects of your mouth, the effects of your walk, the effects of your thinking. There ought to be some movement going on even as I preach. Can I get a witness? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you have the wind, then what's blowing? There ought to be something moving in your life that points back to Jesus Christ. Don't come telling me you saved and you hooked up in a same-sex marriage. Oh, I might as well just jump all on it. If I had to come out my fornication, you coming out of yours. Don't tell me that you saved and you still, amen, are involved in habits that are reprehensible to him. Don't tell me you're saved and you still cussing like a sailor, and the God has not curtailed your tongue. Don't tell me you're saved and you're still scheming what worldly, fleshly schemes. Something's wrong. Full of hell. Talking about you going to heaven. Can I get a witness? Somebody got to preach it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, child of God, listen to this. Now, y'all looking at me funny because you don't hear this from your favorite TV evangelist. That's your problem. I ain't asking you for $7,700, $7,000, and then God will answer all your prayers. I ain't asking you to kiss my ring. I ain't asking you to give me a title that's above everybody else. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. In fact, I'm a no good sinner saved by grace. I'm a dirty no good sinner. Can I get a witness? I was born twice, but I'm only going to die once. Can I get, I'm blood washed, blood bought, and born again. And I cannot enjoy sin the way I used to enjoy it. Sin was good, Doc. I was on a cycle. Whoremonger. Street runner. I wish I had a witness. And kept doing it over and over again. But God. See, when God saves you, he never leaves you the way you used to be. When God saves you, there's some changes going to come about. When God saves you, there's some convictions. When God saves you, you need Jesus. Check it out. Nicodemus, verse 9, says, how can these things be? Jesus said, are you a master in Israel and you don't know these things? And here's what Jesus said. He said, now, if you don't understand these elementary truths using the wind, and the wind is all through Scripture. In Genesis, God breathed into Adam the breath, pneuma, where we get our word pneumonia from, pneuma of life. To breathe at Pentecost, amen, they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Can I get a witness? Ezekiel 37, son of man, can these bones live? He said, thou knowest, Lord, preach to the bones. Then after you preach to the bones, preach to the wind. I wish I had a witness. It's right there in the text. We claim we have the Spirit, but there's no movement. Check it out. Check how this conversation moves on. And no man have ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Verse 13 is so powerful, I don't have time to deal with it. This, listen. People argue theological propositions and they have no background. There is a parable that suggests that there was a bosom place in Abraham's bosom that all the Old Testament saints had to stay in Sheol until Jesus first went up. And when he resurrected, the Bible says he led captivity captive. Those that was in captivity, he freed them, took them back to glory, and gave gifts to men. Hang in there with me. He said, no man can get in first unless I go in first. I'm the one leading the band into heaven. And that's why the songwriter said, right on, Jesus. Right on. Can I get a witness? Because he had to go in first. Lord have mercy. This thing is deep. That when you understand this theology here, Lord have mercy. Jesus then moves transitionally from the new birth. Now let me pause. Here's why so many folk in church are going to hell. Because they say, well, you know, I believe in Jesus. Well, James says the demons believe and they tremble. There's dead faith. Faith without works is dead. You can talk about all the faith you want. If works don't back up the faith is dead. I'm talking about good works. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Then there's demonic faith. The demons believe and tremble. But then there's demonstrative faith. He said Abraham believed, counted on, trusted in, committed to God, and God counted that for righteousness. So this word believe is going to send a whole lot of people to hell. Because what you call belief is not belief. The Bible says belief is a commitment and a surrender and a submission to Jesus. I grew up in church. I was on usher board, choir. Amen. Went on Sunday school trips, youth department. And I believed in Jesus. I believed that Jesus was God's son, and I was going to hell.
All right. Yeah.
How many of you went to Sunday school and grew up believing in Jesus? Now raise your hand. All right, look all the hands. Now put your hands down. How many of you didn't get saved the years later? Put up your hand. There you go.
That's right.
Different beliefs. The reason that we could do what we did in those years that we believed Jesus. In fact, when I was in the military in 1968, it's funny, the TIs, got them big hats, they be cussing at you, right? Basically. And the guy said, here's your Bible. Give your heart to Jesus because it's mine. Now, here's what he said. Vietnam was hot. Except, the TI said this, accept Jesus because some of you going to die. He told us to accept Jesus, gave us a little New Testament Bible, and then cussed us out. Well, when I was in the clubs and drinking, and I was, Lord have mercy, whoremongling and running the streets, I believe in Jesus, but why was my sin so free? Why? Why was it without conviction? Because I wasn't saved. I didn't have the divine nature. Oh, I'm preaching now. Once you get the divine nature, you can still sin, but you got to jump over stuff. You got. And the more words you know, the more you got to jump. I'm preaching now, Doc. People say, I know the Bible. All that means you got to hurdle more. Can I get a witness? You got to jump over more stuff to do your stuff. You got to almost turn off the Holy Spirit. Put on sunglasses. Get a wig or put some disguise on like Saul. So you can go to your witch at Endor. Can I get a witness? Hey, you can only live a double life when you're in disguise. I'm preaching. And God is so deep, like he did at the witch at Endor, he gonna expose it even to the witch. I told y'all I was playing baseball, came home for the service. I was in the baseball league. And man, it was like 95 degrees. We played baseball. I was way down in West Philly playing baseball. And the guys was out there, they had kegs of cold beer. And I had already committed my testimony. Mother Bettina, I couldn't drink no beer because I already told people about Jesus. So the devil gave me a plan, just like he did Sarah. He said, look, go in your car and go on up North Philly and get yourself some Colt 45. This is true testimony. I went way up to like 21st and Allegheny. I forget what it was. To a bar. I had my baseball uniform on. You didn't know I was saved. Lord. Walked in the bar, set up on the bar. Barmaid in there, she's scrubbing the counter. How you doing, honey? Can I help you? I said, give me a coat of Coke 45. She rubbing the counter. She said, all right. And she put the bottle up in and she said, you don't look like you belong here. So. My mind started playing with me. Lord have mercy. And the minute she said that, I was convicted. So I paid for my bottle, and I took my beer, and I went on out the door. Amen. I figure I'm caught now. I took my beer. But listen, God is good. Oh. You think I was leaving my bed at all that? All that? I figure I'm caught now. I might as well go all the way with this thing now. But listen, child of God, and you know what? I didn't even enjoy it. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this. It was cold. It was cold, 40 and 5, but I didn't enjoy it because the Holy Ghost, who was my comforter, had become my discomforter. Let me go on. Let me go on. It's tight. But it's right. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus moves transitionally from the new birth to the new belief. Look at verse 14 real quick. As Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, this story is in Numbers 21. Don't turn. Verses 4 to 9, where Israel has sinned against God. Are you with me? And what Israel did, they murmured against Moses, and they murmured against God, and God said, I'm tired of them. God sent fiery serpents, snakes, to bite them. And every time someone was bit, they died. They were bitten, they died. The snakes were poisonous. So the people went back to Moses and said, listen, we're sorry for disobeying you and God. Go back to God and ask God to help us out. Moses went back to God, so God said, I want you to take a brass snake. Brass in Scripture is judgment. A brass snake, wrap it around a pole, put the pole in the midst of the people. And anytime they're bitten, tell them to look up at the pole and believe that the pole has the power to save them. And as Israel was bitten by snakes and they looked at the pole and believed it was an inoculation, Lord, it was an antidote, they continued to live. So Jesus comes along and says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent, let me give you another illustration. Man has been bitten by sin. And sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death. But as the Son of Man is put on a tree and hung up, and you believe that he is your substitute, the bite of sin will not kill you. The bite of sin will not destroy you. It may only delay you. I'm preaching now. That you can be saved from sin by believing that Jesus died in your place. Lord, have mercy. Look what he says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but right now, present tense, we have eternal life. For God so loved the world. Stop, pause and part. There's three worlds in Scripture. Cosmos, there's the planet, there's the satanic system of the world. But he's talking about the world of humanity. For God so loved the world. This is one of the most misappropriated, unknown doctrines in all of Christendom. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Don't be fooled. In theology, there is something we call limited atonement and unlimited atonement. Limited atonement means that Jesus only died for the elect. He only died, and Matthew 1:21, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's limited atonement. Jesus only died for the elect. If Jesus died for the whole world wouldn't go to hell. Can I get a witness? Oh, y'all looking at me funny. He died for the elect. Look at this. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever commits, trusts, believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Nowhere in the Bible did Jesus condemn anybody caught in sin. We're going to deal with that. That's why I'm going through John. Interesting. woman at the well, and we're going to deal with this next week, Lord Spirit Life. Woman at the well was a loose woman. Some even say she was a harlot. Jesus at the well, he wants some water. You know, can I have a drink of water? And she, you know, why are you asking me? And he said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you don't have five. And the one you're shacking with, he's not yours. That's deep. She's working on the sixth one. Now, next week when we deal with this water, I really want to challenge you, because the reason a woman is looking and hooking on the sixth man is because obviously she was, amen, she was sold out that a man was her problem. She done ran through six and still not satisfied. Can I get a witness? Mm-hmm. Some of us sitting here this morning, we think all we need is another man. Another woman. Can I get a witness? It's tight, but it's right. I know I'm preaching. Can I get a witness? Just like these terrorists. These terrorists up here, you know why they bombing themselves and blowing themselves up? Because they believe that if they die for the cause, and I said this morning, they're going to get 40 virgins in the next life. Now, I was preaching this morning, I said 40 virgins, and some of my deacons rushed to the pulpit and said, it's 70, Pastor. I said, what y'all back there making bombs or what? What's going on? You know, the fact of the matter is, Jesus says in his context, don't miss it. Every time that deacon go on vacation, I'm going to watch you. Check it out. Jesus says, he that believeth on him, verse 18, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Verse 18 tells us judgment has already taken place. Did you see that? It's not condemned, but is condemned already. Now, 19 and 20 is mind-boggling, and 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Now, this is why people won't get saved. And man loves darkness rather than light. You know why people won't come to Christ? You know why people don't want to come to church? They love their darkness. They love their, that's right there in the Bible. Don't look at me. They love their darkness. You know why we got a drug problem in this country and in this world? Because it generates a lot of money. Don't fool yourself. There's wickedness in high places. There's white collar crime. People controlling the money. The economy is in a deficit of trillions. The baby boom generation, of which I'm part, is in trouble. There are senior citizens that can't retire. I was in Cherry Hill today. I went to the Pathmark, and here's this old lady in her 70s at the counter, and people fussing at her. She couldn't see. She was trying to put the, and she said, don't holler at me. I've only been here 3 weeks, and they won't train me. Probably trying to supplement her income. I went to another grocery store. Here's a young mother. I picked up a package of bacon. She said, I can't buy that bacon. It's too high. My children will not eat bacon. Cost me $67 to fill up my vehicle with gas. What is the world coming to? There's a few people holding everything. And what we have to do is pray that the Lord of Sabaoth will have mercy. People are hurting all over the place. They can't make ends meet. They're struggling to pay rent, mortgage, utilities. They're struggling to buy food. They're struggling with their own personal problems. And some of us are running around here trying to expedite marriage. You better stop, pause, park, and count your money up. Had a mother in this church say to me last week, very fine young lady, I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage. Listen. Jesus wants us to understand that when you run out of water, when you run out of wine, he can change the water into wine. The wine is not a drink. The wine is a state of mind. That I can have joy when all hell's breaking out. When things are not right, I can have joy. Can I get a witness? When the husband don't do right, when the wife ain't acting right, when the kids is up, I can have joy by keeping my mind on him. Can I get a witness? You better find out the secret to contentment. Contentment is not what you have, or nor what you want, nor where you're trying to go. Contentment is Jesus. And when you got Jesus, you got it all. Can I get a witness? He's able. I'm coming in for a landing. He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to put before you a provision. He's able. Your wine gonna run out. Your looks gonna run out. Your shape gonna run out. Your bank account's gonna run out. Your self-import's gonna run out. Your mutual's gonna run out. Your class gonna run out. But God, who's rich in mercy, Jesus will never run out. He'll never run out. And I've run out of water. And I needed some refined wine. And I'm run out of trying. And I needed to trust. Can I get a witness? And I don't know about you, but I've been frustrated. I've been up that side of that rough mountain. And I've climbed till my hands started bleeding. Climbed till my legs started hurting. Climbed till my feet wouldn't act right. But I just happened to look up and I saw the man from Galilee. He is able to take you, to keep you, to counsel you, to care for you. Isn't he able? All you gotta do is call his name. Jesus. I said, Jesus. I said, Jesus. He's my wine. He's my worship. He's my winner, Jesus. Let me move on. There's a new belief. This new belief is in the Son of God. Can I get a witness? Not in Judaism, not in Orthodox Jewish doctrine, amen, not in your roots, not in your astrology, not in your number. Yeah. Can I get a witness? This, the songwriter said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. And this is what I found out. All of the ground is just sinking sand. When darkness veils its lowly face, is then I'll rest. Won't you rest? Won't you rest? Won't you rest? A new birth, a new belief. But we close the chapter out on a new blessing. First, he deals with a new witness, 22 to 30. John the Baptist was the best man. And let me tell you something about a best man. The best man only has a role in the wedding until the bride and groom comes together. Once the bride and groom comes together, the best man is out the picture. Can I get a witness? John the Baptist said, now that the bridegroom, Jesus, has showed up, he don't need the best man. And the church is the bride. He doesn't need the best man. So let me bow out of this thing. I must decrease. And he must increase. Excuse me, child of God, there are three musts in the chapter. There's the must to the sinner, chapter 3 and verse 7. You must be born again. And then there is the must. Yeah, I wish I had a witness. Now, the first must, amen, is to the sinner. The second must is to the Savior. He must be lifted up. I wish I had a witness. But the third must is to the servant. Chapter 3 and verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. The reason some of us are like mustard is because we're missing one of the muscles. If you a sinner, you must be born again. The Savior must be lifted up. And God says you must decrease. And I must increase. Your agenda is no agenda. Your import is no import. Your glory is no glory. When Jesus enters the picture, you got to get out of the way. Can I get a witness? Because he will not share his glory with no bishop, no pastor, no evangelist, no TV evangelist. You must decrease and he must increase. Can I get a witness? But child of God, I want you to see this. There's a new witness, but then there's a new worship, 31 to 35. He that cometh from above is above all. Jesus is the only one we worship. We don't worship Buddha. We don't worship Hindu. We don't worship Muhammad. Only Jesus. Can I get a witness? We don't worship the lodge. We don't worship the Masons. We don't worship the sororities. We don't worship the fraternities. We worship Jesus. There's only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. We don't worship civil rights. We don't worship your personal rights. We worship Jesus. I said Jesus. I said Jesus. I said, Jesus. There's a new witness. There's a new worship. But I'm coming in. There's a new warning. Check out the new warning in verse 36. He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Here it is. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Lord, I don't want no wrath on me. I don't want no brimstone and fire. I don't want to wake up in hell because I deceived the congregation. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to burn forever and ever and ever with the knowledge that Jesus could have saved me. Can I get a witness? He met this man called Nicodemus, and I said it was Nick at night, not my favorite Martian, but my favorite master. And not, amen, I dream of genie, but I'm dreaming of Jesus. Not lost in space, but found by grace. Not Dallas,
but delivered. Not mission impossible, but mission accomplished. Can I get a witness? We are all on a divine clock. Can I get a witness? And every day you wake up, the clock keeps ticking. Paul said we are nearer now to our salvation than we were yesterday. I know some of y'all think you're going to live forever on earth, but your clock is ticking. And one of these old days, God's going to call your name. Can I get a witness? He's going to stop your life on earth. He's going to bring you up to his presence. One of these old days, your clock is going to stop. Can I get a witness? You're going to die something. He's going to order you out of here. And when I get up there, I want to hear my Savior say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many. I want to see my mother. I want to see my grandmother. I want to see my aunts and uncles. I want to see my brother. And I hope to see you. But I know I'm saved. And I know I'm going to Beulah Land. And I know I'm going to glory. Can I get a witness? Been blood washed, blood bought, born again. And there is some movement because of the wind in my life. There's some movement because of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm not everything I should be, but thanks. I said thanks. I said thanks be to God. I'm not what I used to be. Can I get a witness? I'm on my way home. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to see Jesus. I want 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 to see Jesus. Say it. You know why I want to see him? So I can lay my crown at his feet. I want to lay it at his feet. I want to thank him for snatching me out of hell. Thank him for putting me on a street called straight. Thank him for being with me in a time of trouble. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. In everything. In everything. Give thanks. Thank you for the mountains. Thank you for the valleys. Thank you for the cancer. Thank you for the sickness. Thank you. 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 Thank you.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, with needless pains we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. As every head's bowed, every eyes closed, you need to be born again. If you need to be saved, if you're not sure if you're saved, if you die right now, you're not sure you're going to heaven, just be honest with God. Put your hand there. Don't even think about it. Don't think about anybody around you. Just put your hand there. I want to make sure I'm saved. Time is running out. The church age is coming to a close. We're in this age of Laodicea, the rights of the people. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back. Is there one? Perhaps you are saved. You want to join a church in your Christian experience? Raise your hand. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Father, in Jesus' name, there are three musts. The sinner must be born again. the Savior must be lifted up, and the servant must decrease while you increase. All of us stand in need of one of these musts. And God, we surrender to whatever must applies to us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Let me open up in prayer real quickly. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to this most holy portion of this service, the sacrament of your body and blood, Holy Communion. And you said as often as we do this, we show memories of you till you come. You said in 1 Corinthians 11 that if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We confess that we are wrong and you are right. We are weak.
To purchase a VHS, DVD, or audio copy of this sermon, please write Perfect Peace Ministries, Post Office Box 130, Williamstown, New Jersey, 08094. And thanks for watching.
If this ministry has blessed your life, you now have an opportunity to help Dr. Gordon continue reach, teach, and disciple through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready to invest in the salvation and cultivation of souls?
For I was hungry, and ye gave me food. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me.
Perfect Peace Partnership involves three levels of monthly support: $15, $25, and $50 per month. If you are interested, just send your first contribution by check or money order to Perfect Peace Ministries, P.O. Box 130, Williamstown, New Jersey, 08094, and you will immediately receive envelopes for your monthly contributions, quarterly sermon summaries, as well as a partnership CD. We thank you in advance for your participation and your prayers. We now have the following series available for purchase: How to Effectively Strengthen Your Family. Learn biblical principles on how to relate, parent, and strengthen your family life. Stopping the Strategies of Satan. Prepare yourself to recognize the traps and deceit of Satan and learn to trust Jesus Christ. Making the Right Decisions. Learn to depend on Jesus for direction and get insight for your daily decisions. Perfect Peace. Recognize the importance of resting in the peace God created for you. Dealing with pain in your life. Learn biblical principles on how to cope with hurt and brokenness that may try to bind you. Frequently asked questions. Get answers to common questions most Christians want to know. Hidden Hurts Revisited. Discover the recovery plan for your deeply rooted hurt found in the Word of God. If you would like to purchase any of these series, please send a check or money order along with the series title to Perfect Peace Ministries, P.O. Box 130, Williamstown, New Jersey, 08094, or visit www.stmatthewsbc.org and order online. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless you.